Hello and welcome back to your one and only source. We're your hosts. My name is Caroline, and today we are recapping season 2, episode 7 of Gossip Girl called
Chuck in Real Life.
Do you have the title? Guys, sorry about last week. Phoebe and I were traveling. It was kind of a crazy week. We told you you weren't going to get a Summer Fridays. We did not tell you about Gossip Girl, but it wasn't humanly possible.
And also, guys, we did try. It's not that we physically sat down and tried to record, but I mean, like, we did try to schedule it when we realized that it wasn't going to work.
There just, like, wasn't a second of my life where this could have happened last week, which is also why, if you have not already seen, the Caroline Show on Patreon for June was a little bit different. In fact, it was called The Phoebe Show.
Some might have said it was better.
Oh, well, who said that?
Well, I did say something in the beginning of the episode. I said, I actually am just realizing that, like, I kind of have beef with this tier because you guys are specifically paying $3 to only get a video where only Caroline's talking.
Well, you can feel good about this because most people aren't just on that tier. Most people.
I know, but isn't that kind of funny?
It is, but honestly, and I didn't want to, like, you're forcing me to say this. You're ripping the words out of my mouth right now, but, like, it's not like the Caroline Show's really taken off yet.
But people, there are people on the tier.
I don't know if they're there for me or if they're there for, like, what has been. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how I feel about it. But anyway, luckily there were no revolutions. There were no people with pitchforks and torches about the Phoebe Show. But the Phoebe Show is out there. And so if you weren't aware, because she did kind of pull one over on you, it still says the Caroline Show. And this still doesn't have a single human face in it. So you, like, really don't know what you're getting into until you press play. And I feel like people didn't really know that because we didn't tell them. But now it's been a moment. So right. I want you guys to know that. And also, there is an Other People's Business episode. So if you were missing our Summer Fridays episode last week, that's on the Patreon too.
Here's a revelation I came to on the episode of the Patreon that I think might is important as we finish out Love Island.
Okay.
I understand that guys need to have friends,
but at what cost? People really did like this. This was the title of Ep, right?
It was the description.
Yeah. Say it again.
I know guys need friends, but at what cost?
Why don't you elaborate?
And I realized that because at movie night, It's like, I understand that the guys need to, like, be with their boys and, like, kind of stand behind them a little bit. But it's like,
but at what point does that become a terrorist organization?
It's like, girls can be friends for their girls even when they're wrong.
Girls literally need
guys
friends.
Don't get to do that because typically when guys are wrong, it's at the expense of a woman.
Yeah.
Also, like, the girls have held Kenzie accountable way that these guys haven't held Sincere accountable.
I agree. And
I don't think they needed to.
Okay, nail me to a wall over this, my new saying. Nail me to a wall over this. But, like, I do think that I'm feeling a little bit of sympathy for Kenzie right now. And this is just a little droplet of Love Island before we move on. But I feel a little bit bad for her right now because I think she came into Love Island and was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Like, it's like you can't win. In previous seasons, they're like, you're closed off too quickly. So that's why I want to vote
you.
Well,
even
off.
In this season, they go back and forth on what's the right way to move.
Right. So it's like Kenzie.
It's like Kata and Zach, there's a reason you guys weren't closed off until the last week of the show.
No, exactly. I'm like, it's interesting how we're all locking it down now.
Uh-huh.
But another thing, and also now that, like, America's in their heads, They're all trying to strengthen their shit. But another thing about Kenzie is, like, I also feel like she does like to have two guys interested in her.
Sure.
I also feel like she was enjoying that, but I also think she genuinely thought that was, like, the point.
We also need to remember she didn't choose to be in a connection with Caleb.
No.
The whole villa was, like, rooting for her and Caleb.
I think America voted for it,
but then also the whole house was like, yeah, like, Kenzie and Caleb, like, it's perfect.
And it's like, at the end of the day, Kenzie's not a liar. And when Sincere last night said to Melanie's face, looked her in the eyes, said, I'm not a liar, and then doubled down, said, I'm not, I was like, and that should be, like, that should be grounds
and
for
like
execution.
Kenzie, Kenzie may have said something she shouldn't have, but she didn't lie, when she did that secret kiss with Corbin.
But even that, no one asked her. Mm-hmm. She said, we're not going to tell anyone about it, but I think that if someone had asked her, did she not volunteer the truth?
Right.
Sure, but that was the only thing.
And I've changed my tune when I recorded the Patreon, I was a little peeved at Kenzie for the Jen thing. Mm-hmm. But on second thought, I'm like, Kata just got to Jen first. Yeah. I don't think Kenzie was hiding it from Jen. No. I just don't think there was an opportunity for Kenzie to go talk to Jen yet.
Organically, Kenzie pulled Jen for a chat and told her. And Jen it wasn't was like, because I she know. Knew. Exactly.
So that Kata told like, her.
Oh. Like, and Kenzie wasn't mad that Kata already told her either. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, okay. Like, well, that's just what I wanted to tell you. Yeah. You know? I don't know. I think that these men are disgusting. And another thing we're watching, back to Phoebe's original quote, men need to have friends, but at what cost? We are just watching the mob mentality that our English teachers warned us about when we read the short story, The Lottery in high school. We are watching it come to life in front of our eyes. That's what it is. Because the only one who's immune to it, and I'll say 95% immune to it, is Bryce. Mm-hmm. And it's probably because his frontal lobe is developed. Like, these other men, one of them gets an idea, and the way that they don't need any shred of, like, of validity for mm-hmm. that claim. They're going to jump on and dogpile and whatever. And then they also can't, like, they can't see the own double standards that they are enforcing, but they're, like, talking about how the girls have double standards. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And do you remember that short story, The Lottery?
I don't think I read it.
Oh, my God. I have thought about this story, like, once a week for the rest of my life since I read it in ninth grade honors English.
Whoa.
With my awful English teacher.
I famously wasn't in ninth grade honors English, so.
Famously. My awful English teacher, ninth grade, she wore two different shoes to school one day, and she was like, I really need to go on what not to wear. And so, like, we all submitted her, and people were like, that's so mean. I'm like, she begged us. She wanted to be a star on TV. Let's not get it twisted. She also said she could speak to whales. I was like, okay, you're a freak. And then
she's giving Kelly Ben Simone.
You know, she emailed my mother, and said, Caroline doesn't seem engaged in class. So I went on to be an English major. I was reading when I was two. I'm not engaged in English class. Mom was like, what? Like, mom's never in her life received an email like that about me from a teacher. Out of the blue. Caroline's not engaged in class. What's the beef? What's the beef you have with me, Nicole? That was her name. Anyway, so back to what I was saying. The story of The Lottery is about, like, this town where once a year, it's sort of like the Purge vibes. Once a year, they have the lottery. And everybody in the community, all of their names are, and it's also like Hunger Games, all their names are in this thing, and you pull it out, and whoever, like, and they don't tell you, they're like, oh my God, it's the lottery, and everyone's like, oh, feeling whatever way they're feeling, everyone goes to the town square, I always envisioned it on Beverly Road, mm-hmm. everyone goes to the town square, and you don't find out what the lottery is until the very end. They pull out the name, and, like, however many people go up on the stage, and then it's just, like, everybody starts picking up rocks and kill them.
Holy shit.
Stone them to death. And it's like, that's the lottery. But you don't find out what it means until the very end. It's a really good short story, but it's like this mob mentality of everyone kind of, like, knows it's wrong, but then one person starts throwing the stone, and then everybody just, mm-hmm. and the narrator at the end, like, throws a stone. I think I could be getting it wrong, but I don't really think so. Anyway, I need to tell a quick story and then we'll get into the episode. I had something horrifying, harrowing, like, nightmarish happened to me last night. So Anthony's out of town, so it's just little old me and the doggies. And I went up to bed and I took a shower.
Have you been putting the dogs in the basement?
Yeah, that's where they sleep. And I took a shower and I was like, I'm going to watch some Roni and just, like, decompress in the solarium. Go in the solarium. It's nighttime. It's great. I open the window. Everything's great. I'm watching Roni. And then I'm like, all right, time to go to bed. It's at this point, 12:30. Okay. So I'm like, it's an early night. Get up to go to bed, and I'm walking to the door to walk back into the bedroom. The solarium's off the bedroom. This is important. And there is some, like, paint that's, like, chipped, and it looks red where it's chipped because I guess it was red underneath. So, like, I sometimes just see, like, spots in the wall and the store, and I think it's just the paint chipping. But then something in me was like, take another look. Biggest centipede I've ever seen in my life. Right, like, on the door hinge frame. So I'm like, okay, it's sort of like the spider you were talking about in the basement in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You're now guarding the entrance to my bedroom. I gotta get in there. I can't walk past you. You have a lot of legs. I've never seen a centipede jump, but I don't know that they could. They put their minds to it, you know? And it's massive. And I'm like, okay, so I don't know what to do. I look down at my phone, dead. Phone's dead. Not that I was going to call the police, but right. It would have been nice to have the option.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, what do I do? Like, I can't call anybody. I was going to call you, and just, I was like, maybe I could, like, leech some bravery through the phone from somebody else. It's like, I'll call Anthony and be like, this is a situation. Like, there's a humongous centipede and I can't go in our room now. But my phone was dead. So I was like, okay, this is literally.
So you couldn't even take a picture of it.
Couldn't take a picture of it. So did this even happen? Couldn't take a picture, couldn't call anybody for moral support, and couldn't use my flashlight either. I was like, I've got to turn the light switch off. It's kind of close to the centipede. I can't go over there. Also, in darkness, that centipede might start moving. I'll lose it. No, no, no. So I was like, how am I going to get out of this room and be able to see and carry all my things, not hit it, not make it move? And then I started thinking about, what if that thing, it has one of two options.
I knew exactly where you're going with this.
It can start crawling because it's facing down, okay? It could start crawling down, go under the door into my bedroom, which means then, I mean, then what do? I jump out the window? I can't go anywhere. Ideally for me, it would have gone into the solarium and like down along the corner of the wall where I can no longer see it. Because out of sight, out of mind, drama sometimes like has fun little games with centipedes, fucks me up. But like centipedes, he's really curious about them. So I was like, okay, I need it to move in this direction. And if it doesn't, I'm never sleeping again. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do in that room if it goes in my bedroom. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit. So I move a chair so I can keep my eye on it. I put my iPad on a table so that I can watch Roni. I'll give it some more time. It'll start to move once it realizes I'm not a danger to it. Phoebe, I sat in that chair.
Could you not text anybody on your iPad?
Well, I was using it. Oh. Watch Roni.
I know, but beforehand.
Well, what was I going to say?
Can you FaceTime from your iPad?
What was I going to say?
Is there a camera on your iPad?
Uh-huh. I didn't really need to take a picture of it. God forbid I took a picture and sent it to you, you'd fucking kill me.
But then also, like, you could have texted me at the New York Kelly. You could have FaceTimed me and like, the moral support you were looking for.
Think about this. I didn't have a charger in the solarium, or my phone would have been charged.
Mm-hmm.
My iPad was in, like, 20%. What was I going to do?
Fair enough.
No one could help me through the iPad. I was watching Roni.
But
I was
like, not through your phone either.
Exactly. So I was like, So I was like, I'm just going to watch this. And I've got one eye on that centipede, one eye on Roni. An hour goes by. That thing doesn't move. I'm like, okay, now I'm antsy. Now I got to pee. Now I'm tired. It's 1:30 now. I'm like, oh my God. So I get up and I take the fan and I point it at the centipede. And I'm like, if I point this fan at the centipede in the right angle, it could start moving the way I want it to. That thing doesn't fucking move. I had the fan this close to it. No, won't move. I know what you're thinking. Caroline, why didn't you kill it? What kind of question is that? Why would I ever try to kill a centipede?
I'm with you on that.
I'm gonna miss. And it was also in a little bit of like the curve of the door. I was like, it knew what it was doing. I finally got up the courage. I moved all my things as close to the door as I could. I reached. I opened the doorknob, pushed it a little bit. Centipede didn't move. Oh my God, I actually have chills. I went like this. I put my back up against the door frame and made myself as small as I could and shut the door and got back into my bedroom.
So this was really easy for you?
No.
Because you're tiny.
Well, yeah, Phoebe, but again, the jumping. This thing had tons of legs.
Right.
I don't know how far it can jump. Lots of legs.
Yeah, but probably not far with lots of legs.
With lots of legs, it has more power.
Yeah, but they're so close together.
You're not thinking.
I don't think it would be able to get the right leverage.
Well, Phoebe, in this moment, sorry, I wasn't thinking straight. I was essentially on Scary Island. Also, by the way, I had to shut the window. So I was like, I have to walk past it to go do. I mean, it was a horror movie. It was a horror film. Is this not entertaining at all? I don't care. Like this, I needed to talk about this.
Yeah.
Get in the room. It's now like 2:15 in the morning. I'm wired. I'm like, fuck my life. Go to the bathroom. Get in bed. I can't sleep. I decided to check on it. I lift the curtain over the door, shine my flashlight. Oh, I don't see it. I notice there's a big crack under the door. Is it in here?
You should have put something by the door when you left.
Well, I was afraid because I didn't really want that on any of my things. I had a laundry basket. I was like, God forbid I push a laundry basket up against this door. It gets in my laundry. I'm loading the...
Just like one shirt under the crack.
That would be nasty. I have to choose a shirt that I hate.
Yeah.
I don't have any. I love all my shirts, Phoebe. I would feel bad for it.
This is similar to the other day in Boston. I went to the bathroom. We were sleeping in the basement. And there had this whole trip. There had been a spider kind of like by the sink up in the corner. A daddy long legs, but like a daddy long legs with a particularly thick kind of bulbous abdomen. So I was a little bit like, does this thing fucking have venom in it? Like, I don't know.
Probably.
What kind
of... Well, they all do. Daddy long legs are very poisonous spiders, but their mouths are too small to bite humans.
But this was, I don't know if it was even big enough to be a Daddy Long Legs.
Okay, well, you're making it sound like it was, like, massive, and I think you're lying.
It was, like, probably, like, this big.
Well, it's too big, of course.
And the abdomen was probably this big.
That's thick.
But the legs were long.
Would it make a crunch if I stepped on it?
Yes.
Then the answer is no.
Yes.
There, and, I
so basically,
oh, too many bombs!
So basically, I'm going to the bathroom one morning, and literally, when I tell you, this was the day Lily left, so it was Sunday. So
was a woman?
I kind of get the sense she was a woman.
This centipede man.
Oh, for sure.
For sure, man.
So I was going to the bathroom with my eyes on it. I kept my eyes on it every time I was in the bathroom. Look away.
You know, one time when I was dating Anthony and we weren't living together, I was in my apartment living by myself and I saw a centipede in the shower and it was like 1 a.m. and I called Anthony. I was like, there's a fucking centipede in here. I don't know what to do. He said, keep your eye on it. I'll be there in 10. Drove to my house in the middle of the night, killed it for me, left. I didn't let him stay. He said, now get lost. I have to shower. Show me proof of kill.
Caroline, get the hell out. Caroline and I are
the same. He was like, wait, I can't stay now. I brought a bag. I was like, you wasted time packing a bag. Well, I was standing here making eye contact with that. He's like, it's 1 a.m. I'm like, okay, good thing you were up. Go home now. I have to shower.
So I go to the bathroom and then she starts to move. The first time all weekend she had decided to move from her post.
She's uncomfortable with you.
And she starts zigzagging. Like basically,
are you running from a crocodile?
It's kind of an L-shaped bathroom in the sense of that there's like a little bit of a hallway before you get to the door.
Yeah.
Before you get to like the sink and everything. You know what I mean?
The scariest place in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Like as Jenny Slate would say.
And she essentially is, number one, taking her sweet time. She's backtracking. She's going different directions. Mm-hmm. And she gets like basically to the top of the door frame and is just going back and forth. And back and forth.
Oh my God, stalking, it's prey.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't. I'm going to be stuck in here forever.
I was thinking about you last
night. Yes. And then I finally, like, she got to kind of to the side enough where I could, like Caroline said, get as far.
Press your body up against
the
wall.
Get to the other side of the wall. But I also didn't want to touch any of her web.
Well, of course.
From the
top. And you're like, what if she, spiders do jump.
Yes.
So then it's like.
And what if this was some sort of like.
As you could?
Yes. I threw that door open. I was like, I probably just messed up. She's probably somewhere.
She's pissed.
I probably just messed up her web. Like all this stuff. And then I go outside, I kind of forget about it, and then Lily comes out and she's showered.
Didn't even notice.
And so I was like, oh, so like the spider's not in the shower, like the spider isn't like visible anymore. Yeah. She knew where the spider was. And I text her once she's left for the airport and I say, hey,
where is she?
Did dad kill the spider? Because she went, I was like, maybe she got into the shower and then she was like, dad, can you come kill this spider?
Yeah.
Did dad kill the spider or did you have eyes on it when you showered? And she said, no.
Okay. So we lost her.
So guys, I'll be honest. I didn't shower the rest of the trip.
No way. Phoebe, why didn't you just go to one of the different showers?
Because I didn't want to be in a position.
Okay. There are 3 showers in that house.
I didn't want to be in a position.
Dude. Well, you know what probably was more of an imposition?
Mom,
the stench.
Mom on the last day.
The stench of you not showering.
Mom on the last.
You're like, I'm getting in the pool with chlorine.
Mom on the last day of the trip, she sees my greasy hair. Have you showered one time since you've been here?
Yes,
once. I was like, twice.
You asked one time.
And the answer actually, is one. I'll do you one better. Twice.
2 times and not in the last 72 hours. You want to know why? Ask Lily.
She,
hey, Lily?
She didn't handle business.
Oh my God.
But anyway,
where is she?
I did, like, I washed my face. Like, I smelled fine. Did I smell yesterday when you picked me up from the airport?
I don't know how to answer this.
I didn't smell
you. Because the truth is, when you got in the car, I did think you smelled a little bit sweaty. But I was like, I'm not going to say anything to her.
Well, I probably did smell sweaty. I'd just been walking.
Well, yeah, because you hadn't showered in 72
hours. Well, I'd
also
just been traversing across the whole airport.
You're going to get so pissed off at me. I'm about to pee my pants.
Go ahead.
Give me 2 seconds. Feel free to wax poetic or we'll just start immediately when I'm back.
We'll just do that.
Guys, it is autumn in New York. What's better than that? Summer over quick. Wish that was the truth here.
I'm so ready for it to be over.
Oh, I'm so ready for a Pittsburgh fall in my new house. It's going to be great. How the heck am I going to decorate? I can't wait. We are having breakfast at the Vanderwoodsons. Serena is on one this episode.
I just want to say to Serena, just preemptively about this whole episode, is Serena, you're so upset about all of these rules. You haven't followed one of them.
No. Like, they're obviously not applying to you. You haven't done
one. You haven't changed one thing about your lifestyle.
I'm also like, let's talk about the rules. Okay, the rules are this. Because Bart is back. They're having a housewarming party tomorrow. And
it's their debut as a family.
Yes. Everyone's pissed. Bart brought back gifts for everybody. He brought Eric a watch. He bought Serena a suit. Which I'm like, okay, wait, foreshadowing.
Wait. Ariana Madix, did you get your outfit for karaoke, Ari, from Serena Vanderwoodson's closet?
Be honest. No, I am like, and Bart, what was the thought process there? A suit for Serena. You got her measurements?
It's a simple favor. It's the navy blue with collar.
It's literally foreshadowing. Okay, this is her villain origin story for a simple favor. And then he just gave Chuck cash. But the guidelines for life together now are this. Every Friday, they dine as a family. Eric makes a good point. Wouldn't Monday be better?
I am just like, because it was the same. And I think Anthony will defend this plot line to the ends of the earth. But like, it's the same with watching Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why is it Friday night family dinner?
Yeah. Well, exactly. But
if you want your kids or your grandparent or your grandkids to like you, you wouldn't put it on a weekend night.
If you want them to be excited for dinner, don't do it on the night where there's a football game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where they might want to put face paint on and go out with their friends.
They might want to put 3 dots above their eyebrow and below their other eye.
And school colors.
And go out and freaking rock and on, rock and like, roll.
They might want to.
They might want to cut up a t-shirt, make a little fringe.
But so now Rory Gilmore can't be the school mascot? That's not really fair. What if she wanted to be? Seems like her.
Now it's like, oh, well, she just get what? Well, oh, she never was the mascot? Well, she never had the option.
Great. I'm excited for that not to be on her resume now. You want her to go to Yale and she wasn't the school mascot?
Wow.
You sound insane right now, Em. Pam? Wait, I saw a TikTok that was like, what's a Pretty Little Liars relationship that you... Or what's the Pretty Little Liars relationship? And I said, Melissa and Emily. And if you are curious, you aren't watching close enough. And I'm like, come on, Road Warriors. Back me up here. I don't want to be like, listen to my podcast to find out why, but like,
have you gotten a lot of likes?
What?
Have you gotten a lot of likes?
I don't know. I haven't checked.
I mean, it is like to be.
No, probably not, though.
To the naked.
People are probably like, oh?
To the naked eye.
It's called reading between the lines. To quote Jack, but why is my Jack Black so good?
It's either so good or it's a scary man voice.
Read between the lines. Hello, face. Okay, anyway. So that's the first rule, which is crazy. And it's like, you are a family of New York socialites. So how do we come up with that?
And somebody tells me, Bart and Lily, you're not going to like that rule.
Exactly. And honestly, I'm like, Serena, you should have just said okay. They probably would have canceled next week. Bart's not going to be here. Bart is out and about all the time, and you know that. And you actually love that about him.
Yes.
So that's the first rule. The next rule is that they have a weekend curfew of 1 a.m. I am like, okay, 2 a.m. would have made more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But... okay.
I do. Chuck goes, is that Eastern or Pacific?
Chuck has some funny lines in this episode, as usual. And then they have no going out on school nights. Serena's like, what? Serena like falls out of her chair. She's like, pardon me? I have a lot of sex on school nights. I'm not going out on school nights anymore. How am I going to get my fill of penises? Like, that's what Serena's saying. It's crazy. And it's like, she just wants to be mad. So she's mad at the world. I forgot she and Blair made up.
I know.
I literally was like, oh, so you guys are cool now? Like, Serena's just like, I mean, she's just a bitch. And like, do I get it? Yeah. Are these things annoying? Yeah. But then an argument that you would have made for Blair last episode, Serena takes it too far.
With their parents?
Yeah.
Sure. But like, that's so different.
Well, how?
You're allowed to take it too far with your parents.
Really? When you're talking to the press? And your mom's Lily Vanderwoodson? You're talking about cokehead ex-husband?
Fine.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. So, anyway, Serena's really fucking mad. And that's how we're starting off the ep.
And then we go to the Humphrey Loft. And
huh. Did you notice something?
Vanessa's here. And we don't actually get a scene of her entering. She just seems to have been here.
She's been here. Did you stay the night? I noticed the couch isn't made up yet. So where did you sleep?
Mm.
Roofie's bed? Yeah. Spooning with Roof? Be honest, V. Were you spooning with Roof?
But leave it to Vanessa to be a raging bitch immediately, because she's like, Oh my God, Jenny, do you see what he's holding? Jenny, he has to have someone else's bag.
Dan is cracking me up this episode with his whole soccer thing, which I know we're never gonna see again. Which is, he's like, yeah, I'm trying out for soccer. Nate,
I'm like one of the, I'm one of the boys.
It's like, have you ever held a ball in your life? Balls that aren't your own.
And famously, you don't even hold the ball in soccer.
Yeah, well, Dan doesn't know that yet. He's like, and I got a pretty good grip, huh? Like, holding in his hands. So Vanessa, though, she's currently busy with a protest. She's found something. There's like a speakeasy in Brooklyn that's up for sale, and she's obviously anti-gentrification. So she's working on a petition to get landmark status for it, to save it. And she wants to go with Dan to school to hand out flyers at his school. I'm like, I have a feeling that a piece of paper being given out at that school isn't going to go over well. It doesn't matter what's on it.
Unless it's a champagne bottle.
Yeah, we're not really doing flyers here.
Yeah.
At Constance and St. Jude.
It's such a waste of paper.
Dude, it's such a waste of paper. And Dan's like, Dan makes a good point. He's like, why would we hand out flyers at my school? Where, no, everyone's like pro-gentrification. She's like, well, what about their parents who might need a little charity to spend their time
it's
on?
It's like, sure, but like, this still wouldn't be the way to do it.
No, it's just, it gets so, I'm like, here's the thing, Vanessa, right now, I'm annoyed with her baseline, like always annoyed with her, but like, I get that you're trying to do a good thing and like, good for you. You know, I agree. Let's preserve the speakeasy.
She's
however,
so pretentious about it.
And what she does to Blair, what were you thinking? Hey, V, you got a little too big for your britches, and I don't know when or why. I don't know what provoked you to like think that you could start a war with Blair Waldorf, but I think like Blair might not come out on top in this episode, but she will.
So Jenny says that her parents and Eleanor already signed, and then this is when they have the conversation about the soccer ball, and he's going to play with Nate because most of the team got mono.
Yeah.
Sluts. Sluts.
So Serena and Eric are walking to school.
Can I say something about Eric, the actor?
Okay.
Every line he says is like when you're watching little kids act for the first time and they're just saying their line.
That's so mean.
But it's so true.
Give me an example.
Well, I can't even remember what they said in that scene, but he's like,
well, they're talking about how pissed they are. Mm-hmm. And Eric is like, shouldn't we try? Like, if this is an opportunity to be a family, I think we should just give
there's
it a
like
shot.
A little bit of a break between every line Blake Lively says and every line Eric says in a way where it doesn't flow as natural conversation and it's his fault, which, not hers.
Especially in this scene because
so you notice
Serena
it.
Is so worked up. Well, I mostly notice that Serena is like on fire. Like she is like the most amped up we've seen her, I feel. Like she's so on one and his energy is so different. So like in that way, I know what you're saying. It is like Eric is the older sibling.
Yeah.
I know Eric's going to say that Serena raised him, but I'm like, who raised who? Who rescued who? You know what I'm saying?
And Serena's like going through the Rolodex of Lily's ex-husbands and how their life. She was like, every time she marries a man, she gets all Stepford.
Not the brief conversion to Islam she mentioned. I'm like, okay, more on that, please.
Yeah.
Hey, more on that later.
And Eric's like, yeah, the ski chalet wasn't too bad.
Yeah. So Eric's like, I think we should try. Mom seems really serious. She wants to be a family. Like, that's a positive. Let's do it.
So at school, Nate tells Dan that I guess his tryout was impressive.
I'm like, well, how impressive does it have to be if the entire team is mono and you only have one player? And it's Nate. Like, he's like, the coach was impressed with your tryout. Like, what, that he showed up?
No, literally.
You know what I mean?
He's impressed that you didn't,
that he
have,
didn't
mono?
Have mono. Yeah, no, exactly. That he's not like a whore. It's just like he didn't have the opportunity, maybe.
And then they run into Chuck.
Chuck's lying here. This guy, Humphrey, never a pleasure. Like, that's so good.
They make me laugh so
Humphrey,
hard.
Humphrey, never a pleasure. We're on the same page. Hey, Dan, shut the fuck up. It was cool when Chuck said it. It was funny. I laughed. When you said it, I'm like, get to bed. You know what I mean? Just get to bed. Anyway, so Chuck's like, hey, Nate, let's be done with this Dan thing. Like, I get it. We were, like, kikiing at Yale. That's cute. But, like, we're back in the real world now. And he's a fucking loser. And Nate's like, maybe you're the loser, Chuck. And walks away with Dan.
Humph, let's go.
Humph, harumph, let's go. Hey, Humph, how about we say harumph and we get out of here? And Dan's like, harumph. Harumph, humph, humph. So then Blair walks up and we have like a little flirtation moment between Chuck and Blair. And he goes, we're inevitable, Waldorf. Ooh, and you're right. You're right, but Blair says that even though her body feels things for Chuck, her brain knows better and that his should too. And she goes, it's gotta go, disciplinary hearing.
And what does Chuck say?
He's like, I didn't know you were like a bad girl or something. She's like, it's not for me. Which, wait, what was it for?
I don't know. It must be like she's like,
Oh my God, I didn't. This is like, it's not.
Wait,
it's
yes.
It's not with the school, it's with the minions. Yes. And this girl, Kelsey, who wore tights as pants.
What does Blair say?
Gotta go, disciplinary hearing. I thought she was going to headmistress Queller's office.
And what does Blair say to the girl?
I have it. She goes, so Penelope, and is it Isabel or Cotty? I never know.
I don't know which one was in this
which
scene.
One left? I don't know. Penelope and Isabel or Cotty are like yelling at Kelsey. They're like, and you should have known. And they're like screaming at this girl. And the girl goes, I didn't realize. And Blair goes, that tights are not pants. And that is so funny that that is the disciplinary hearing she's talking about.
Because I fully just thought we brushed over the disciplinary hearing.
Like, wait, what the heck was the hearing about? Oh, that tights are not pants. Well, and then it gets funnier because Vanessa comes up to Blair and asks her to talk. Blair goes, 60 seconds, clock it. Walks over with Vanessa. She's like, oh, I'm back in power. And she goes, what are you doing here with those? Shouldn't you be at Whole Foods? Those meaning the flyers. And it's like, well, yeah, Vanessa, we saw this coming, by the
way. It's also like, how did you get this far into the school? You're in the courtyard, not like the main area.
I know. Who let you in here? Where is the Secret Service for Constance Billard? In St. Jude. Anyway, so Vanessa's like, listen, I need your help with this charity. And Blair goes, charity is for diseases and endangered species. She's not interested in helping with this. And that's where Vanessa goes dark. Okay, Dorothy. And this is where I'm just like, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
I know, it's a little much.
Also, did Blair not like help her out? Like, am I misremembering? Like, I thought Blair and Vanessa were like,
fine-ish.
Okay, because of all the Marcus shit. This is crazy to me that Vanessa goes here. Vanessa just always like, I'm like, just because you might think that you're trying to do a good deed and your motivations are quote good, it doesn't mean that you are good or what you are doing is good, Aria.
No, literally.
This is so Aria. She goes, I can make you help me.
Whoa.
Vanessa's going to blackmail Blair Waldorf. Yeah, you heard that right. Into helping her do this with the Marcus stuff because she has like, the picture of
she's like everyone knows you and Marcus broke up but they don't know why. But to me I'm like, okay, but does Blair really care if they know if Marcus was fucking his stepmom
at this point too? I'm like, does anybody care? Because it's like, this is old news. It's yeah. Fall now. That was summer. It was so summer and they weren't even in school. Half these girls probably don't even know about it. It's not like they had social media.
So I was kind of surprised that Blair let it like,
well, I know,
get to her.
I think, yeah, it's a good point. Her pride. But also, I feel like there's got to be a part of it that's like, I'm not going to let you do this to me. You know what I mean? Like, if it wasn't Vanessa.
Well, also, I think in that moment, maybe Blair's like, two can play at this game.
Blair's like, I just paid your rent for a year.
Yes.
Excuse me? So Vanessa goes, now that we've established that I own you, you have 6 hours to get 1,000 signatures and make sure they're legible. Have fun. Walks away. What? I know Blair has said some abhorrent things. Vanessa, nastiest line I've ever heard on the show. How dare you? Now that we've established that I own you, are you okay?
It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
And so then at, and we're in Serena's room, and Serena's reading a book, and Chuck comes in, and he says, I'm going out. The new rules don't apply to me, sis.
And he's like, you know that the real reason Bart is back early is to court executives because they won't do business with anybody who doesn't share their family values. So that's what this is. And he says, Serena, you are a really big threat to Bart's business because of all your Page Six Poppy Lifton shit. You're hanging out with Anna Delvey. It's not a good look. I mean, hello.
Mm-hmm.
So Serena gets a lot of ideas. This bonkers. Bart walks in the house. Serena is in a fuck me dress. She's in a bright red. It's giving what Hannah Marin wanted to wear to Detective Wilden's funeral.
Literally.
But worse. Like, on steroids.
Hannah, it's a funeral, not a Nicki Minaj concert.
So Serena's wearing this red dress, and he also, is it Friday night and he wasn't at family dinner?
I know, exactly.
This is what I heard. I'm like, okay, so exactly, Serena, did you have to have this whole freak out? They've already bailed on the first Friday dinner. I don't know. And she says that she and her friends are going to go anywhere that they can find paparazzi because she's in the mood for a little show tonight. And she gets in the elevator, and as it is closing, she goes, I forgot to put on underwear.
Crazy. And so then we go to the Waldorfs and Chuck arrives and has a cold dirty martini waiting for him. I'm like, these kids. This is where mom goes, this show is so unrealistic.
Exactly. I mean, they're in high school. Well, yes, mom. And that is why it's a fictional show written by a team of adults. It is funny, though, because it's like the cheersing. I'm like, are we 45? Like, what is going on? Blair is
also, are we in a James Bond movie? Like, you guys are like about to take down like another 17-year-old.
They think they are. Chuck definitely does. 100% think they are. And Blair's like, well, we can't be in a James Bond movie because then it would have to be like just your girl. I don't know what movie that would be where the girl's in power. Does one exist?
No.
Oh, there aren't any movies where the girl's
in power. No, they're not allowed.
Oh, right. I guess The Devil Wears Prada is probably the closest thing.
Yeah.
Of course, it's freaking fashion. So
Chuck is Stanley Tucci and Blair is Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Wait, I love that. Okay, work. So her idea, she wants to work with Chuck. She wants him to, quote, seduce and destroy Vanessa because Dan stole Nate and Vanessa's blackmailing Blair. So, like, they're both going to get something out of it. Because Chuck would steal Dan's best friend. I was like, how does that hurt Dan? And Chuck said he's going to do it because of the thrill of the impossible. And then, she hands Chuck the flyer and is like, whatever. By the way, if you do this for me, then we can have sex. So I'm like, Blair, hey, let's not do that. Let's not offer up our body as payment.
She wants it.
She's down. And this is the only way she can, this is the only like quote self-respecting way she can do it, you know?
So the next day, Blair and Serena are having brunch, and this felt like, it almost felt like the way that they normally have cameos of, like, actual stars come in. It felt very weird.
You're right.
Weird.
With Jonathan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric shows up with Jonathan, his boyfriend. Blair and Serena, allies. They're like, we love this. Sit down. And he's going to come to the party tonight. Chuck's already met him. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. I know the Bass family is like the devil. I get it. And I know that Bart is awful and like he's going to be awful. And I know Chuck is going to like have a really bad stretch here in a little bit. They are not turning me off that much in this episode.
Yeah, I agree,
like,
for the most
part. I keep finding arguments for Bart.
Mm-hmm.
Except for with Chuck.
Yeah. But going back to the beginning of this, when before Eric and Jonathan get there, Serena and Blair are talking about Chuck and the dare and everything, and Serena's like, did I just see you smile when you said Chuck? And Blair is like adamant that she didn't. And then
I'm like, Serena, bad friend.
When I know in this moment exactly when Eric says that he already told Chuck, and she goes, Blair, Chuck, did you hear that?
Chuck. And she's like saying it like rage baiting Blair, and Blair goes, ignore her, she's dehydrated. Love it. So Dan is now recounting soccer with Jenny, and like he is in full bro mode. He's totally jazzed. He's like, I got so many guy friends and I'm on the soccer team. What's better than that? It's like Gossip Girl's been dark for 2 days. Everyone's like, this is an interesting coincidence. But Jenny goes, come on, Dan. You and I both know you prefer to hang out with girls.
And Rufus doesn't disagree.
No. Rufus comes in and Dan's like, Dad, please tell Jenny that I have guy friends. And Rufus is like, well, and Jenny's like, not you. And he goes, well, Cedric. And she goes, and not dolls. And Rufus is funny about this because what do they say? They're like, oh, well, okay. Dan calls Nate, also wording crazy. Hey, Nate, you want to hook up for some soccer later?
Crazy.
It's like when Dad will be like, you guys going to hook up? No, I'm not going to take her pants off. God, she's not going to touch my boobs. Like, that's what they're always like, you guys going to hook up? Anyway, Dan's on the phone. He's like, sweet, bro. Love it. Bye. That's what he says. It's so funny.
My dad making friends with his friends in Boston.
No, literally. Sweet, bro. Love it. Bye. It's the bye for me. That's how I'm going to end phone calls with you. Instead of don't call me back, I'm going to say bye. Don't call me back was a good one the first time I did it.
It was.
I called Phoebe.
It still makes me laugh when you do it.
I know. I called Phoebe and we were talking forever. And then I was like, okay, I have to go. Don't call me back. And hung up. And it's like, I called her. But now she doesn't remember that. She's like, why did I call my sister?
And so as Dan's going to go play soccer with Nate, Vanessa.
Jenny's like, do you want to bring Cedric? Rufus goes, well, you know Cedric would get dirty. And then Dan would have to bathe him.
And so we go to the speakeasy and she's talking to Vanessa. Is also I'm like, Vanessa. all the, when you have these adult friends that love you, like, that's how I know you're a little bit of a weird kid.
Like, if adults like you, that's a red flag.
Like, adults like me and Caroline, but like,
it's because we're polite.
Not because we're like a little like rat around the neighborhood who's like hanging around and I like have to like you.
She was going in there at like 9 years old. She's like, hit me. Gives her a whiskey. She's like, it's good for you, actually. This is what you're supposed to.
It clears out your sinuses.
Yes, exactly. This guy's name is Horace. He owns the speakeasy. And they're like having a good turnout for their protest. And a limo pulls up and it's Chuck.
And Chuck, Vanessa, I do think we could have refrained from using the limo for
totally
this.
Totally could have. Totally could have. Vanessa's pissed because
this, and by the way, guys, this is how you know she doesn't actually want to save this place in like a real, like, kind-hearted way. Because if she just wanted to save it and she doesn't, like, you would just take the money.
That's my exact thing, Fee, because I'm like, okay, did you not want to go to Chuck's school this morning to pass out flyers?
Because now you can't turn around and say that you want to, like, take your money from a clean place.
Yeah.
It's like, no, but you wanted to go to a school where you resent how all these parents make their money and take their money.
Yes.
How is the Bass family any different than probably a lot of those families?
You're actually, like, relying on one of these families right now. You are hoping one of them is going to help you. So, I don't know, like, I get the Chuck Bass thing and whatever, but it is just like the like,
and don't you
theory.
Think the owner might want to hear out the deal?
Yeah, I know. Also, were they dating at this point?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out.
I need to Google that. So Chuck's like, well, thank you for introducing me to this business opportunity because Bass Industries is willing to work with you. And if you endorse our bid, we'll like make this place great again and whatever. And somebody comes by and basically
Glee
as fuck slushies Chuck in the suit and he leaves and everybody is laughing at him.
So good.
There is something about that happening that does make me like want to cry. Every time I see someone get like slushied, I'm just
It's because Glee was traumatic.
Maybe. I mean, I was never slushied, but I certainly felt like, I mean, metaphorically.
Watching that show
kind of felt like, because
if you watch that
sometimes.
Show, it's like you are a Gleek. You know that scene where they come home from winning nationals and they go into the school and everybody's in the hallways and it looks like everybody's going to be mean. And then the athletes come up and they have what looks slushies, but it's confetti.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. And then the one where there's like glass in it.
Oh, well, yes, that did happen. I think Blaine was blind.
Similar situation.
I think Blaine was blind. No, it was in a parking garage.
Oh, what?
No, and it was a rock salt.
Oh, my God. No, that makes me sick.
Yeah. The Warblers. I hate crime
on Gleek. On Gleek.
Only.
Try living with hepatitis B. That's hard.
Try getting waterboarded. That's hard.
It's so good.
Remember when me and Caroline were both right when we did that pilot?
I know. We really fought.
And we were like angry at each other.
And we were like, hey, ladies, simmer down. You're both right. And we're like, well, that's not an option. It's one. It neither can live while the other survives. Ever read Harry Potter? Hope not. I mean, I have. So anyway, Chuck leaves. Serena's coming home. She runs into Lily. And Serena, like, gleefully is like, so what's my punishment, mother? She, like, wants to be punished so that she can just not do it. And Serena's like, look, I'm not defying you. I'm defying Bart. And, like, things were so good last year. Why change it? And it's like, well, because Lily's married now.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't married last year. Like, okay.
But I do also see where Serena's coming from in terms of, like, it's not like you're seeing your mom become
herself.
You're seeing her be, if she has this many examples to go off of like, we fully converted to Islam once, we moved to a ski town. Because it's like, that would be hard, I think, for Serena, especially Serena, who is someone who is like, you know, I go my own way, I do my own thing. So and to also, see her mom be so easily like, I don't want to say manipulated.
I love that. That's the thing that, well, and that is honestly what we should call, fuck, all of Love Island. You are manipulating. That's what's happening right here.
Oh, that's good.
But what I was going to say also about Serena is, fuck. Oh, about Lily. I kind of forgot. She is low-key being blackmailed by Bart.
Oh, I forgot. So, like, oh, right. We just saw that happen.
We don't really know why or like what. We don't know what it is, but we know something is. He has something over her.
So that might explain Lily's behavior, but we also have an explanation for why Serena would feel the way she feels.
Yeah,
knowing,
Serena obviously doesn't know
like,
that.
Did the other husbands have blackmail on Lily?
If she did know that, she'd feel even more like this. So it's like, you know, like ultimately Serena at the heart of it is is right, I guess.
Not it's like just about, that sometimes you are like, you're the kid, you have to sit down and listen.
You take your medicine. Yeah, exactly. And so Serena's just like really playing dirty. She's not going to go to the party, whatever.
I'm not really in a family mood.
You know that feeling when you're reading a thriller and you tell yourself, okay, just one more chapter. And then suddenly it's 2 a.m. and you're questioning every character's motives. Yeah, that's exactly the vibe of Not What It Seems by number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson. I recently got into this one and it absolutely hooked me. It starts with what looks like a simple accident in Georgia's eerie low country marshes, but then investigators find a polished stone beside the body, etched with a bloody number and a strange symbol, and that's when things get weird. Soon, more bodies start turning up, more stones appear, and crime reporter Nikki Gillette can't stop digging for answers, even when it becomes clear she's putting herself directly in a killer's path. What I loved about this book is the atmosphere. You've got Savannah's historic streets, creepy marshlands, buried secrets, and that constant feeling that someone is watching from the shadows. It's got that perfect Southern Gothic mood mixed with a seriously addictive serial killer mystery. If you're a fan of authors like Paula Hawkins, Riley Sager, J.T. Ellison, this is definitely one to add to your list. And the title couldn't be more fitting, because in this story, absolutely nothing is what it seems. Not What It Seems by Lisa Jackson is available June 30th wherever books are sold. So if you're looking for your next can't put it down thriller, go grab a copy and prepare to lose some sleep.
I'm going to skip this little soiree.
I'm outie.
And hey, can you, here, let me just take these off. Can you bring my underwear upstairs?
I don't leave the house with any underwear on anymore.
I only wear underwear in the house.
I only wear underwear in the house or when I'm wearing pants. When I'm wearing a skirt, yeah, I'm flying free. And I'm taking the subway. Yeah. Anyway, gross. So Dan, breaking and entering. Dan showing up at Nate's house, finds the eviction notice, lets himself in.
Dan shouldn't have done this.
Also, Dan, you knew you were meeting at the park. We all heard the phone call. Yeah,
exactly.
You said, sweet, love it, bye. After you agreed on going to the park. So why'd you come here?
I think that what he said on the phone, when he explains it to Nate later, is that he was running early, so he thought he would just walk to Nate's house first.
He says, I forgot we were meeting at the park.
Wait, on the phone though, he says that.
No, he says it to Nate when he sees him. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, maybe get your memory checked. What, do you have CTE from soccer? Oh my god, dude, all the CTE shit is freaking me out. That football player who killed himself, CTE.
Yeah.
I didn't know you couldn't be diagnosed with it until after you're dead.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's the whole thing of it.
My god, football players really deserve so much more.
Just kidding. They really can joshing. We pay them more? Guys, and I've always said that, can we please play football players more?
Listen, I don't care if you if you have a kid or a brother or a dad that plays football, I don't care. If I ever decide to bring a child into this world, jury's out, but if I ever decide that, they will never set foot on a football field.
I don't want them to, but what if it's their love?
Don't care. They'll play piano, age 3. Don't care if you hate it. Play until your fingers bleed. Yeah, because I want you to have this skill. Because when you're 32 one day.
Didn't Troy Bolton ever teach you anything?
No.
Can't they do both?
No. That's the rule I just said. No football. So literally, no, they can't. They'll be playing piano every day, all day. Homeschool. They don't need to learn how to talk. They just need to learn how to play those keys. The ivory keys.
Caroline is going to give birth to
I get arrested for child abuse.
Caroline is going to get... This is an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Like, Caroline is actually giving birth
to birth to a piano.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch. Okay, gave birth to a baby grand. Ow. Oh, my god. Anyway, what were you saying when I cut you off with that story?
I was just, that story
about me giving birth to a grand piano.
Right. Well, no, baby I was grand, just saying grand. If that, like, okay, that's Caroline having a child who is truly a horror movie. That's the kind of child that in a horror movie, like, you bring in a nanny because you and your husband, like, want to start traveling a little bit. And like, the nanny's they come like,
hey,
and
that kid's not all there.
That kid can't talk and only plays piano every day.
That kid's eyes never shut and they glow red. Like, you know? Also, hate to say it, Nick Vile made a really good point on his show about Mary Poppins, something I've been saying for years. She's not a good guy.
Mary Poppins?
Yeah, Phoebe. And don't challenge me on this. I was in the show. Famously got bitten by a brown recluse spider while in that show.
You've been through it.
I know. Honestly, I so have.
Well, it's just crazy that you've been bitten by a brown recluse and have had kidney stones.
Two. I have a huge scar from my brown recluse bite, but you can't really see it because of my vitiligo.
How is it?
It's fine, but it wasn't fine. And I thought it was like, what, whatever. Who
cares?
Did
you go to the hospital?
Yeah. Mom and dad said if I didn't go, they would call an ambulance to my dorm because I sent them a picture of it. It was horrific. I mean, literally.
Did you see the bite happen?
No, but I was at coffee with my professor because we were doing a meeting about my bachelor's essay. And there was like, I also remember that I had like.
Oh, you were at Kudu.
Yeah. I had no money at this time. Like, I remember I had probably had like $3 in my account. And she was like, I forgot my wallet. Can you spot me a coffee? And I was like, I'm going to die. I don't know how I did it.
Hey, professors, you don't get to do that to students.
No, I was like.
That's inappropriate. Hey, guys, that's inappropriate.
No, I was like, I'm going to kill myself. But anyway, I'm sitting there and there was like a wall of like foliage and I feel something on my hand and I look down and there are like a million little bumps raise up on my hand and like one big thing in the middle is like a little spot of blood. And I was like, whatever, it's so itchy. And I'm like, oh my God. But I didn't want to
like, hey, Mr. Recluse,
what the hell is this about? I didn't want to make a scene. So I just pretended nothing happened. I was like, I'm sure it'll go away. I go home. It's now like eating my flesh. That's what happens. The like poison doesn't kill you. The infection does because it starts to eat your flesh. So it starts like getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Like to the point where it's like a crater on my hand, like right here. And it's like black because whatever. And I'm like, okay, it's fine. Whatever. I'm like, I'm just going to put
fine, whatever
Neosporin
is
on it. Like whatever. I probably couldn't afford Neosporin. I was like, it'll be fine. And then like, one day later, I look at it and there are humongous red streaks coming out of it. Like I've never seen before.
Caroline.
Like spanning like up my arm.
Caroline.
It's huge. And there's like an obvious like bite, like raised thing in the center. And then it's like a black hole and red streaks.
And Caroline, as the story goes on, I lose sympathy. Why didn't you go to the hospital?
Well, because I was like, Phoebe, I need you to remember something about me. Every time I was ever sick growing up.
Caroline.
Get real with me. Every time I was sick, it was, you're a drama queen.
This is different.
When I broke my foot in college,
I said,
don't call my mom until I have an x-ray.
Because we couldn't see the broken bone.
And well, you know what the technical director of the theater who carried me out of the theater said? He said, I'm calling your mom. It looks like you have a baseball coming out of your foot. We're either calling an ambulance. I was like, no, don't call an ambulance. They're like, okay, well, then we're driving you to the hospital. And they're like, yeah, you can't pull weight on this. Your bone's completely broken. And I was like, don't tell my mom until I have an x-ray. She will not believe you. I mean, the doctor's like, hey, we need to test you for mono. Mom's like, oh, great. Oh, you know what, Caroline? If you want to get tested, go for it. I'm not going with you. I go get the blood test. They're like, that girl's got mono. After I track all of George Washington's estate, I'm exhausted. You're not supposed to do physical activity. Hello. Bone shattered in my bottom of my foot. Mom's like, you're being dramatic. Okay, fine. We're going to the doctor. I'm like, no, please don't take me to the doctor. I'm lying. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. We go. They're like, the bone's shattered completely beyond repair. We have to remove it. Like, so I'm just saying.
But Caroline, you said it was a black crater on your hand.
It was horrifying, but I wasn't going to go to the hospital. I was like, I just didn't think it was that kind of a thing until I looked down and I saw the streaks. And it was post a show at Mary Poppins. Okay. So it was like 10:30 p.m. and I'm home and I take a picture and send it to mom and dad. And mom calls me and she's like, I'm calling an ambulance. And I was like, what? And she's like, go to the hospital right now. And I was supposed to hang out with my boyfriend who was like a really bad guy. And I was like, I can't. I have to hang out with my boyfriend. And she's like, I will literally call an ambulance. I was like, don't do it. So my roommate took me to the hospital. They look at my hand, put me to the front of the line. I'm telling you, this waiting room, millions of people in there. Front of the line.
Oh, but when you walk in with a vertical cut on your wrist, they say, you can wait. Hey,
like,
you can wait.
Like you did it to yourself, huh? Yeah, so then I went in and they were like, good thing you came in. If you had waited 24 hours, like this would have spread to your bloodstream and I don't know. And they put me on antibiotics and then I got so sick. I got so sick from it. And then it healed and I have this massive scar now, but you can't really see it. And so I did, yeah. But my boyfriend was so mad at me and he wouldn't. I asked him to take me to the hospital. He wouldn't do it. He was like, you're running out of excuses not to see me. That's what he said. I was like, so like, I don't know what to tell you. And I went to the hospital. I sent him a picture of me in the hospital and he doesn't answer me, won't respond to me, is mad at me. I think we broke up. Right, we got back together, of course. Right. What a great guy. Okay, so anyway, I don't remember how we got on that.
No, Mary Poppins is a villain.
Oh, Mary Poppins. You're like, and I want to hear this. Mary Poppins is mean as fuck, okay? And here's what I'm saying. She comes in with these kids. There is a whole song called Playing the Game. You might not be familiar because I think it's only in the Broadway version. Mm. Playing the, or the, no, sorry, it's in the original Disney version, but a lot of people haven't seen that. Playing the Game is a song where she brings all of the toys to life because.
Wait, this is killing me. I sent in the Situation Room a TikTok of Connor.
Uh-huh.
And Amber goes, this guy comes up for me too. Whitney's husband.
I love her. She's gonna be so mad when she hears it. She's gonna be like, and you guys are making fun of me. Oh my god.
But Amber, that is funny. We send his stuff in this chat all the time.
Amber's just so endearing. Like, it's just like, I just love her so. I love her so much.
And she's so goofy.
I know. She's the best. She's so funny. She's so funny. I have so much fun with her. Anyway, Mary Poppins. So there's a song called Playing the Game. And where she brings all the toys to life because the kids won't clean up. And she makes them like huge. Like, so like bigger than the kids. And they all have to scare the kids. And into the kids are like, fine, we'll clean. And I famously played the ball.
Oh, I know this.
And I was like, so can we talk about the costume? Are you putting me in anything? Or am I just gonna... They did put me in a gigantic.
We don't need to use the resources. We could find something. Wait, do you think you need a costume?
You think you don't look like a ball? Oh, we were kind of feeling like on your own. It was pretty. You just sold it, but okay. They're like, you can't do just like continuous somersaults on stage. I'm like, no. They're like, okay, well, your bulbous frame. Like, we don't really need. You know, they put me in a gigantic inflatable ball. And we had to do a dance where we like circle the kids. We're like, playing the game, na 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 na. And we're scaring, and the kids are like crying, screaming. And they decided to clean. And like, she does shit like that all the time throughout the whole show. And I was like, wait a minute, is she a villain? Yeah, she's mean and scary. And then Nick Vile was like, she's a gaslighter. The kids are like, oh my God, you're amazing. Look at all this magic you can do. She's like, what are you talking about? There's no magic here, idiot. Like she just won't acknowledge. And I'm like, I think there are bigger, like I have bigger arguments for why she's a villain than the gaslighting. But like, I'll add it to my case. Mary Poppins, not a good guy. It's true.
Mm.
It's true. She's mean.
I'll have to consider.
You should watch it. You should read the script. You'll be like, wait, this girl's the devil. You let the devil in your home. Okay, you invited the devil in. Okay, so back to this.
Dan sees that Nate is living in his empty apartment, like on the floor in a sleeping bag with junk food.
Yeah, exactly. So Dorota's calling for Blair because she's a visitor. Oh, it's Chuck. Chuck says the deal's off. And she goes, but you promised to seduce Vanessa. She needs to be destroyed. And he's like, I'm giving up. Basically, he's like, once I got slushied and I felt like a freaking glee.
Oh, wait, this is where Blair offers sex.
Oh, you're right. Okay, you're right. He's like, you can do your own dirty work. And she says, well, what if I made it worth it? And he goes, my, that girl has gotten under your skin. And she says, the question is, Bass,
will you?
And he undies her robe and agrees. And then Gossip Girl says, careful, B.
I loved this one.
One thing about making a deal with the devil, he always comes to collect.
True.
All right, so now Vanessa's talking to Chuck. So after he left, his lawyer came through with a proposal and everything like looks great. He was mm-hmm. going to keep everything as
and
it
by
is.
By the way, we're at the Vanderwoodsons now. Vanessa, how'd you get up there?
How'd you get here? I don't think they let riffraff like you in. You're wearing an outfit made out of garbage.
They
She's like Harper from Wizards of Waverly
they
Place.
They see Harper from Wizards of Waverly but Place come like, in with a stack of colored flyers and they say, get out of here.
Every single day of Vanessa's life, she walks in and they're like, did you just come from an ABC party? Anything but clothes? Why are you dressed like that? Like, why did you make your clothes out of flyers? I'm a walking billboard for the speakeasy I'm trying to save.
And if this was a Disney show, this would have been her character arc.
100%, and it would have been addressed.
Us saying this, like, she wears crazy outfits. She's typically in, like, relatively, pretty, I mean, outrageous things, but she's never in garbage.
So the manager wants to meet Chuck, and if the manager, Horace, Chuck, signs off, then he has her support. And Chuck goes, I'd best go put on something special. Goes to get dressed.
So Serena is going over to the Waldorf to complain about her family.
What's new? She's going over to the Waldorf to complain more. Blair's getting dressed. and they're talking about Lily's husbands. And we find out that, like, it used to be, like, Lily would just, like, jet off and Serena and Eric would show up at the Waldorf with the overnight bags. And it's like, and Serena, you treat Blair like this?
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. But Serena's like, well, yeah, we actually switched between you and the Archibald so that you wouldn't notice. And I'm, like, watching the wheels turning on Blair's head. She's like, okay, so you were having sleepovers with me. Okay. But the first time you had sex with this shepherd, okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be doing some mental math. We find out the dress that Blair's wearing, Chuck gave her when they were going to Paris. And she's like, definitely just like,
she's
down
giddy.
To fuck. She's like, I'm getting laid tonight. Like, yeah.
Wait, how long is this going to be, Serena?
How long is this going to be? Because I have a dick appointment.
Yeah. I got to like clean up.
With who? No one.
The devil.
The devil. So now Dan and Nate are like, they're done playing soccer. Dan wants tips on bouncing the ball on his knee.
He tried it and he broke his dad's Gibson. And it's kind of embarrassing to watch your dad cry.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing to watch you try to bounce a soccer ball on your knee.
Yeah.
So, both, I guess.
That might have been why you're
crying.
I guess
we're both losers.
Might not have been because of the Gibson.
Yeah. And honestly, I would much prefer crying over that than, like, you crying because you can't bounce a soccer ball on your knee.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know you're doing behind the scenes. They're talking about the housewarming party. Nate's not going to go. Dan wasn't invited.
First of all, I hate when people talk like this. Is very Alex McCord coded, the way that Dan says this, because Nate's like, I assume you're not going to the big, like, Bass Vanderwoodson party tonight. And he's like, no. I mean, mainly because this is the first time hearing of it. But
it's like, well, Dan, why would you hear about it?
Exactly. It's like, people in everyday life do that too when you, like, bring up plans and it's like, oh, are you into this thing? And
it's like, did you think you'd be invited? Do you have to make me feel weird?
Exactly.
You know?
Like, you're not dating her anymore.
Sorry, you've never met this person.
Nate's going on behalf of his family.
Yeah,
it's not like Nate was invited
literally
by Mr. Bass.
Like, okay, dude, no, I totally agree. Dan, you are not in. You're not in, you're out, actually.
and you know what they always this is what Dan wishes he could have said to Serena. Say it. While you're in high school,
I am in Brooklyn
living my life.
I am in Brooklyn. And it's like so like it's giving a monologue that was directed.
100%.
You're in high school. And while you are in high school, I am in Brooklyn living my life. My husband can't wear a Speedo right now because he quit smoking and he's fat.
Low key. Okay, before you got there, the rest of that monologue was giving the last 5 years.
True. So, Kathy. Alex is low-key Kathy. So Nate was like, oh, I would invite you over my house. Just like a total freaking mess and like blah, blah, blah. And he's like, my mom thinks I'm staying at Chuck's. And then Nate goes to get a drink. And I'm just going to go through this. Dan calls Jenny and is like, so by the way, Nate's squatting. Dan cannot keep his mouth shut for 1 second.
No, he sucks. Well, it's because he's Gossip Girl.
Well, true. Jenny's like, well, invite him over for dinner. Dad's making chili.
Okay, so low-key. Our family coded.
No, really. And when Nate comes back up, Dan's like, okay, well, dad's making once a year chili and attendance is mandatory for me and anybody I'm with. And we're doing categories after. And Nate's like, cool.
Oh, I love
Nate
him.
Is so cute. He's so cute. Okay, so Chuck shows up at the speakeasy to actually like see it and meet Horace. And he really likes it. And Horace is like so excited to meet Chuck. They like
Horace
hug.
Is like, I think you would have hung out with JFK.
And Chuck is like, that is what I've been waiting to hear my entire life. Do you want to be my new dad? Like, he is really into it. And Chuck's like just really excited about it. He likes the history of the place, whatever. And so it looks like the steal is gonna go off without a hitch.
Sorry.
Serena gets home and Jonathan, Eric's boyfriend, is there dropping off books, and we find out he's not staying tonight. And he says that Bart said family only, no boyfriends. And Jonathan's like really cool about it. Serena head pops off her body.
Mm-hmm.
Serena like comes down wearing the Christian Siriano rainbow dress. She's like, how about love wins?
She is suddenly Bronwyn Newport.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
I had a dream Bronwyn Newport was announced to be on Traitors.
That would be epic.
Imagine her outfits.
Oh my God. I'm like worried about her money. I'm like, how are we going to keep this up without
I
Tati?
Feel like she's friends enough with a lot
well,
of these.
Well, they didn't sign a prenup. So why am I worried?
That's
genius.
True.
Good for her.
Genius.
Good for her. So Chuck is now leaving the place when Vanessa comes up and like, she's kind of surprised to find out he won Horace over. He like Horace trusts Chuck. And we can sort of see that Chuck is having a little bit of a moral dilemma. Something we haven't really seen from him. Because mm-hmm. it's like he actually wants to do this, not because of the bet. And I wonder if he's like worried that, well, because he's not supposed to do it, right? Like in the end, he has to fuck her over.
Mm-hmm.
But now he kind of wants to do it. And he's like, that's why I'm like, he's got a heart under there. Like he heard the history. He met Horace. It's
just his dad that like really fucks him over. I
know, I think. It's true. So Vanessa's like, are you really serious? And Chuck's like, yeah. And Vanessa says she's wrong about Chuck and that she's sorry. And it's like he's about to tell her the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a text from Blair. And so then instead, he invites Vanessa to the party to celebrate. And he's going to send a car for her. And she's like, okay, not bad.
And it's like, oh, you'll take it.
You'll take the car. You don't want to walk.
Interesting. You want
kind of interesting. You don't want to take the carbon emissions on that.
You want to take the subway?
Yeah. Would your Metro card expire?
Wow. At the party, Lily sees Serena and Blair, or Lily notices like she sees what Serena is wearing, which, by the way, with nothing under it.
Again, giving a simple favor in a major way. And she's like, you look great. Bart's like, the suit looks great, whatever. And Bart wants to introduce Serena to people. And she's like, well, I'm waiting on friends. We are allowed to bring friends, right? And Bart's like, yeah. And she's like, well, does mom know you told Eric he couldn't bring his boyfriend? And Bart says it was Eric's choice. And it's like, of course, my knee-jerk reaction is like, liar.
Mm-hmm. But then we get an explanation. He said to Eric, do you really want to, there will be like press here. There will be all these sorts of people talking. Is this really how you?
Here's my question.
I just want you to be able to dictate when the rest of the world knows.
Did Bart, and I'm asking because I might have misheard this. Did Bart say that to Eric or did Eric come up with that part on his own? That he wasn't ready.
Oh, well, I guess we didn't get this right here.
Because in my mind,
I think maybe it doesn't happen right here,
but later Bart's like, you need to talk to Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Which almost like you're not going to tell her to go talk to her brother if you are being shady. Because Eric will just tell her. And so then she does go talk to Eric and he's like, yeah, I wasn't ready. Like I knew there would be a ton of press here and I wasn't ready for the whole world to know this yet. It wasn't just like this is our coming out as a family. I didn't also want it to be my coming out with a boyfriend. So again, it's like, but if Bart did say that to Eric, then that changes it for me and makes it sneakier, more manipulative. You know what I mean? Like if Bart was like, you know, there's going to be a ton of press. Like, trying to make it seem like it was Eric's idea?
No, I didn't mean to make, I don't think that's what, I think Eric says it later, but I think that he does say that those are things that Bart said, but I don't think it, I didn't take it as a bad thing.
Okay. I feel like Eric's got a good head on his shoulders. Like, he would have seen through and he would have been like, you know what? I'm bringing Jonathan. Mm-hmm. If Bart had, you know what I mean? But, like, Eric's sensible, you know, more so than Serena.
So Blair goes up to Chuck and is asking for a progress report. And he's like, sorry, B, I'm really buying this thing.
It's a really good investment. She's like, okay, but you're still going to crush her, right? And he's like, well, we made a deal. And he leaves and we're like, where the heck is he going? OV walked in.
The way that he just, like, says yes, he sees Vanessa walks in and then he like hastily says yes to Blair just to get her to stop
it's
talking.
It's almost like he's like transfixed by Vanessa. Mm-hmm. Like he sees her, he's like, yeah, we have a deal. And he just like floats away over to her.
Yeah.
And then Bart comes and interrupts them. And so we get a nice little glare off between Blair and Vanessa. And it's epic. And then we go to chili night. What is it? Halloween at the Connells?
My God. No, literally. And Rufus is like, Nate, how's your home life?
Yeah. So what's going on at home? Or do where you are you living? One? And by the way, where is home to you? What is home to you?
What is, can you have pictures?
Do you have a home?
Of how it looks right now.
Yeah, right now. Actually, do you have a Ring camera? I want to see it. I want to see what's going on in there. And Dan like keeps interrupting to try to keep it from coming up or being awkward. He's like, I've seen Nate do that knee bounce thing with the soccer ball. So why are we talking about his house when he can do that? Way more interesting. And Nate like explains it and he says, Rufus like, well, aren't you lonely? Like your mom's out there. And Nate goes, I grew up there. It's where all the memories are. Oh, and it just like breaks my heart.
He's kind of Bryce coded.
He is kind of Bryce quoted. Coded. So Bart and Chuck are talking. Bart found out about the Brooklyn bar and he's not happy. He didn't read. And this is where I'm like, Bart honestly gains a lot of points with me in this episode, except when he's talking to his son.
I agree.
Because it's also like, Bart, I don't know what your villain origin story is, but you are Chuck's villain origin story. Mm-hmm. And that sucks. Because it's like, first of all, hello, generational trauma. Like, we're witnessing it before our eyes. But also, and same with Lily. I mean, all of them. This show is honestly a really great...
Well, it's like Lily's great to Chuck, but not as much to Serena or Eric.
It's like Serena repeats a lot of her mom, like the messiness and the inability to commit and the just kind of like destroying her life kind of thing. Like, I feel like we see all of these kids dealing with trauma that they inherited from their parents. Mm-hmm. It's like but Chuck's like constantly just like trying to get his dad's approval. It's painful to watch.
And Bart's mainly upset because he did it behind his back. And Chuck is like, it wasn't meant to be a secret. It's a great deal for all of us. And Bart is like, you have betrayed my trust. You're wasting my time. And he kind of just dismisses the whole thing.
But here's the thing. I'm like, he's not wasting your time. He gave you the proposal. He wanted you to read it. You refused to do it because you believe in your son.
It's also kind of giving, like, he didn't want to waste your time. So he made sure that they might also go through with it before giving you the proposal. Yes. And then you have to go through all the hoops and then they end up rejecting
it. Right. Do you think all of your business partners, do you think all of your business partners are going to sign off on something if it's not a good move for Bass Industries? I don't think so. Like, it's not like you're the only person who has any skin in the game, you know? And the other thing is about this, I'm like, Bart, you're never here. So the only difference now with Chuck doing this quote behind your back is that you were in New York. Mm-hmm. But like most times he just does shit and you're not there. But now you waltz in and like, so that is annoying. It's like you come back in whenever you want and you just want to like lay down the law and terrorize everybody. And he says to Chuck, because Chuck's like, well, I gave people my word. And Bart goes, luckily letting people down is your forte.
Tough.
Like, it's so mean.
It's really mean. And I also don't even know if it's true.
I know.
At the loft, Nate is helping clean up. And then Dan, he says to Dan that he'll probably go home. And before he heads out, Dan is like, hey, man, I know you're homeless. The jig is up.
Hey, man, you're squatting. And I don't know what you know about squatter's rights, but Vanessa educated me on this. And
it's not good for you.
Dan's like, yeah, I saw it. And obviously, Nate is like pissed and embarrassed. And he's like, Jenny and I want to help you. And he's like, you told Jenny? What if I want to fuck her one day? And now she thinks I'm a squatter. Great. And Dan's like, she'll probably be more into you that way. Not going to lie. Nate says, we're not really friends, so stay out of it.
He's like, we've hung out a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. So Vanessa approaches Chuck at the party. She overheard the conversation and she tells him that he deserves better than his dad. True. First worthwhile thing Vanessa said in a while. And then Chuck's like, well, my dad makes some good points. And it's like, it's so indicative of how Chuck just absorbs everything his dad says to him and like applies it to his character. Like, mm-hmm. He's like, okay, letting people down is my forte.
Everything Bart,
that's true.
Everything Bart says about Chuck in Chuck's mind is true.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just terrible. And so Vanessa goes to leave and Chuck like grabs her hand and asks her to stay. And Blair sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And simultaneously sees red.
Yeah. So then downstairs, Eric is talking to Serena and says everything that we just went through about like why Jonathan isn't actually there. And Serena is like, no, he's only worried about his deal. And Eric is like, I really don't think that's it. Like, I do. Yeah. I kind of trust where he was coming from. And Serena, we're at a point where, like, if Eric is cool with it, you can be cool with it. I know you want 100 reasons to be mad about the whole situation, about at Bart and at your mom.
Right.
But, like, this isn't one of them, it seems. Yeah. So
Eric is level-headed. He's sensible. Like, come on. And then a reporter comes over and interrupts him to ask questions. And she goes, can I ask you a few questions? And Serena goes, honestly? Serena is so nasty. She's like, honestly? I'm talking to my bro. And he's gay. So that's what we're talking about. and Eric's like, honestly? Anyway, they ask about their close-knit family. And Serena goes, what? What did you say? Sorry, close-knit family?
Never heard of it.
I don't understand that term. Like, Serena is literally on one. And Lily, like, runs over. She's like, don't let her anywhere near the press. And Serena just puts her mom on blast. She goes, should I tell the press about every time you forgot to say goodbye to me and Eric every time you left? Or should I talk about when Eric and I wanted a white Christmas? And luckily, mom's husband was a raging cokehead, so he left blow everywhere. But actually, I can't remember who you actually married or who you just decided was more important than your children. It's actually not Bart, mom, it's you. And she leaves. Hey, yikes. That was a little much.
Little much.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you took it too far by talking to the press.
Yeah. Agree.
That was like a line you should have known not to cross. And so I'm just saying, like, take back what you said about Blair.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Phoebe. Take back what you said about Blair. take it back.
They both exist in their own truths.
Phoebe, that is word, like word salad. Oh, okay. Are you on Scary Island with Kelly Ben Simone? You're giving Kelly Ben Simone right now. Honestly, what? You're making.
Okay, guys.
What about my friend Gwyneth? What about what you said about my friend Gwyneth?
Gwyneth who?
Paltrow. And the face she makes when Bethany's like, go to sleep. You're crazy. Oh, Scary Island.
I can't keep going if you're coughing. Do you need water? No. Okay. Okay. So then Blair and Chuck are talking and she's like, the deal is off. I'm bored with the game. It's like, okay, that's why the deal is off. Shut up.
Hey, girl. No one's talking. Alexa, why is it Beetle in here? Alexa, why is it Beetle in here? Chuck's like, well, no, Blair calls it off.
That's what I said.
Oh, sorry.
Because she's bored.
And Chuck's like, well, I'm not ready to do that. And Blair's like, listen, pursuing Vanessa is beneath us both. And so they just kind of like fight a little bit. And then Lily's talking to Eric. And I do love their conversations together. It's like sweet moments. And she's like, I can't believe Serena did that, but I need you to be honest. Is it true? And Eric's like, well, Serena's timing sucked, but like she did kind of raise me. And like,
I also like what he says where he's like, we need to become a family by actually spending time with each other and not just saying that we are one.
It's a great line. Yeah, he goes, you don't become a family just by telling people we are. You become a family because you want to be one. Ooh, fire.
You need to blow your nose. At the loft, Dan and Rufus are together and Rufus is like, okay, my fucking loser son's upset. He lost his one friend and he's asked what happened. And Dan says, I tried to help Nate and it's not. My notes don't make sense.
Basically, Rufus gives him some lessons on what it means to be a friend because Dan thinks it means you just do everything I want you to do and everything I think is right for you. And Rufus says, being a friend is giving someone something they need even when they don't ask for it. It also means not giving up on them when they say no thank you. And Dan goes, well, I didn't do that. Nate wants to be alone. Good luck to him. Dan.
You suck.
I was going to say something bad. And Rufus is like, well, does he have anyone else in his life looking out for him? If you want to be his friend, you need to be that person. Mm-hmm. So Vanessa's leaving the party and she can't find her purse. And she's like talking to the people who have the bags. And she's like, where's my purse? And Blair walks up with it. And she's holding Vanessa's phone. And she goes, I took the liberty of increasing your storage space. And gives it back to her. So she deleted the Marcus video. And she's like, and now that you have nothing on me, you're done here. And by the way, Chuck has no real feelings for you. It was all a little bet we made to see how gullible you could be. Chuck wanted to get Dan, and I wanted to get you. Real estate was just foreplay. Seducing and humiliating you was the ultimate goal. And Vanessa says, well, Chuck didn't hit on me once. And maybe, Blair, you can't stand that he might actually be a good person when he isn't around you. And Blair says, I seriously doubt that.
Ooh.
Vanessa, also I'm like, get real, Vanessa. You think Blair is the reason that Chuck's not a good dude?
No, literally.
Come
it's
on.
Like, and also it's just.
Dick Madize.
That's how you know Vanessa is just so all talk, no action. Because she wants to say she's this woke person who like has no patience for this world. But then like. She actually is such a man apologist.
Yeah.
And like all this stuff.
Completely. So then Chuck walks up and he's like, what's going on? And Blair is like, I told her everything. We were playing chess and she was just another pawn that you needed to knock over to take your queen. Do you disagree? And Chuck literally, we have this great shot of like Chuck and Blair facing off and then Vanessa is like between them in the back. And Vanessa goes to leave and Chuck lets her and Blair says, good boy. And so then she says, I'll be waiting in my room. Come claim your prize in 1 hour.
And so then Serena somehow runs into Dan on the street outside of Nate's house.
Literally, she's sitting outside of Nate's house and he walks up. Why are you here, Serena? Why are you here? And also, like, did you not notice that no one's home? And did you not see the paper and the chain and the everything that Dan saw? I know it's dark.
Still,
why are you here?
And she's like, damn, will you sit with me? And then we go to the bar and Chuck is going to see Horace, who
pissed, capital P,
has already heard from Vanessa. And he says, I can't believe I said you would hang out with JFK.
Get out of here, shyster. JFK would spit on the likes of you. Spit on the likes.
Was he saying JFK or JFK Jr.?
No clue.
Because it's like, I don't think that, is this guy a ghost? Like, what do you mean he knows who JFK would hang out with?
No, it is a good point.
It must have been JFK Jr.
But Horace kind of gives it a feel like he came with the building. You know what I mean? Like, Horace has actually been here as long as the building's been here. And he will continue to be here long after the building is gone. Like,
that's true.
Horace just might be a specter, you know?
A ghost.
And that's okay. Yeah, I mean, I think they prefer the term specter. Just so you know.
I'm not in the business of appeasing them.
I live across from a cemetery. I give ghost tours. I think I would know. Thanks. And what
are those tours called? And what are those tours called?
Haunted walking tours. Bitch. Just kidding. So anyway, Chuck's like, no, I'm still going to save this place. And Vanessa like overhears the whole thing. And it's like, shit, those wheels are turning. So Serena's like, Dan, why are you here? And Dan's like, well, because Nate's my best friend. Why are you here?
Nate's my best friend.
My best friend. That's why I'm here. We're hanging out.
And so, and she's like, and I just came here. I needed to get out of the house. And this is my, I just needed a sneaky link. And I can't believe I ran into my ex here.
Literally. She goes,
threesome.
Well, and then she's like, well, since you're here, I guess I'll say this. The only person I really wanted to talk to, I can't anymore. So I came here. I'm like, Serena, enough with this. Okay. You guys are pissing me off. And Dan's like, well, why don't you pretend I'm Nate? And Serena starts having sex with him on the steps. And Dan's like, not what I had in mind, but it works for me. But we'll fight about this later. So Serena's like, I think I've realized, like, she explains the whole night and everything. And she's like, I think I realized that Bart is actually not the issue. It's Mommy Dearest.
Hey, Dan, what you're about to say is inappropriate.
Does your mom act perfect because she's too ashamed to admit how far from perfect she's really been?
Dan is the definition of someone who's a quote unquote writer, but yeah. It's only so they can say shitty stuff so that they can be like, well, I observe things like that. I'm a writer.
Yeah.
I'm really in tune to the human experience. I just kind of
study the human condition. I pay attention.
And I say what I mean. And
have you ever seen me without my quill? That's weird. Exactly. You know, that's like an acting exercise they always make you do in acting schools. There's like one day where you all go outside and like to different places and you sit and you have to like observe people and take notes on them. And then you like come back in the
room.
Guys,
that's why the actors are so fucking annoying.
It's true. And I was just like, this is like low-key lame. I'm just going to like be me. I don't care what they're doing. I'm just going
to
be me.
And that's where it is. Like you go back to like knowing that Natalie Portman went to Yale and like all these like people who I consider cool people went to Yale for acting.
Yeah, I want you all to remember who like, they really are at their core.
You guys especially are weirdos. The hot guys. You guys are weirdos.
Especially like Kelly, you're telling me how much you want to be with Jacob Elordi. You would hate the man if you knew him. I promise you, Kelly, you would spend 5 minutes with this guy. I mean, once you got over the initial like hypnosis of how good looking he is, you'd be like, oh yeah, why are you wearing wired headphones that aren't connected to anything? Like, it's giving.
Why do you have books in your cargo pants?
Yeah, like, I don't think you've read any of it. You find out he has to sound out words, like, and you're like, okay, like, but also he starts wanting to talk to you about Shakespeare and he's like, can you read this with me? And it's like, wait, you're too into this. Like,
yeah,
you're a theater person. I was warned about you, you know, like, you're just the guy that terrorized the BFA program all grown up. And like, you're hot, yes, but at what cost?
At what cost?
And I just think more women need to remember this about guys. Like, you're honestly better off with a reality TV star because they're not necessarily actors. You know, you're better off with the Rob Roush, Kelly, than the Jacob Elordi. Even though I also think she would hate being with Rob.
Yeah.
She's telling me she would like it because she thinks she's outdoorsy. Kelly, I love you so much. No,
you're
aren't.
Not outdoorsy.
She's like, I was like, he lives in a trailer in the woods and he catches
with
snakes.
With no Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi. And she's like, I kind of would love that. I'm like,
for a
Kelly,
day?
No, you wouldn't.
Maybe 8 hours.
He likes low maintenance girls. She's like, that's me. I'm like,
Kelly.
Okay.
Kelly.
I know. She'll never hear this, but it is true that she's not low maintenance. Okay, so a limo pulls up and Serena's like, oh great, they must have had me chipped while I was sleeping. Everyone's obsessed. And it's Bart. And he's like, Eric.
Did she actually say that?
No. But she says they must have had me chipped while I was sleeping, yes. Bart's like, Eric said you would be here. I want to take you home. And she goes and she's like, Dan, I'm glad you're Nate's friend. He needs someone like you right now. And she leaves. And I wrote, I know Bart's the devil, but I'm just not hating him yet. Like, this is like him coming to get Serena.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some, like, I don't know if it's genuine love for Lily. I don't, I don't know if it's preserving the image. I don't know what it is.
Like, it's some combination of everything.
But there's something there that's, like, not rotten. You know?
Yeah.
Something. So, Serena and Bark at home. The party's over. I do love when we get these, like, end-of-the-night Vanderwoods and family kikis. You know? Mm-hmm. Lily owes Serena an apology. Serena's like, no, I owe you one. And Serena, Lily's like, no. About the 17 years I wasn't here and put the men in my life before you guys. Like, that's pretty quick accountability, Lil. Good for you. Mm-hmm. And they're all just, like, reminiscing, having fun. Serena apologizes for embarrassing them and acting the way she did. Bark goes, apology accepted. Again, I'm like, I wouldn't accept the apology that quick.
And we know that to be true.
Is Bark Bass better than me?
Wow. Okay. Everybody let us know below in the comments.
Let me know, is Bark Bass better than Caroline Connell? We both have alliteration.
I was just going to say.
And we're right next to each other in the alphabet. What does that mean? What does that mean? Don't tell me. Oh, I don't
tell
know.
Tell her.
Anyway, Bart also killed the story that Serena fucked up. So.
And so then we go to the loft. Dan brought Nate back like a lost puppy.
He has Nate chained up to him. And he's like, yeah, Nate's going to stay here. Isn't that right, Nate? He puts a knife to Nate's throat. Isn't that right, Nathaniel?
Yeah. Nate's my new friend.
And we're playing Scattergories.
Nate's my new friend. And by the way, within these four walls, you have to call him Cedric.
Yeah. And that's okay with Nate. Right, Nate? Oh, a droplet of blood coming out of your neck? Think twice before you cross Man City. I don't know what that was. Anyway, so Dan goes, I'll make up the sofa. Jenna goes, I'll get the ice cream. Which wouldn't shock me. She's like, I'll get the cream.
It is so funny that
pass the mash.
The way that they have the Humphreys talk.
Wait, we should probably make Thanksgiving shirts to say pass the mash.
Yeah, that's a good
have
idea.
We said that before?
Probably.
That would be funny.
Guys, we need
pass the mash.
We need the Road Warriors to send us everything that we've ever said.
I know. I don't ever remember it. But like, I know. I'm going to write that down right now, actually. Pass the mash.
But the way they talk to each other is very, like, why is this the only family in the whole show that is a Disney Channel family?
It's true. It's like, you guys don't fit here.
I'll get the ice cream. I'll make up the couch.
And Rufus goes, and I'll get the guitar and the book of 80s. What does he call it? He says 80s, 80s song.
I don't have it written down.
It starts with an F. Something book. Fake book?
The Great American Song Book.
Fake book?
I don't know. Idea.
I thought you would know. I wanted you to tell me what it was. You're useless. Okay. Just there's
one called The Real Book.
It's called The Bible.
No, there's a guitar book called The Real Book.
Okay, like, not that creative. So anyway, they're like, Nate, make yourself at home. And then Blair, waiting in her room, surrounded by candles, wearing lingerie, like Sydney Sweeney in Euphoria, in that flower scene. This is what this is giving. Chuck walks in. She says, what took you so long? And he says, if you thought that was long, you have no idea what you're in for. And then they start kissing.
And at first you think he means, like, they're gonna go all night. And what he means is,
we're gonna go all night.
I'm gonna give you I'm gonna give you a little taste, and then I'm gonna take it away.
Dorota screener calls. I'm gonna put my tongue in her throat and leave. And I want her to cry all night alone or something. So they're, as they're kissing, Chuck goes, say it. I like wrote all this down because it was so iconic. She goes, say what? I'll say anything. Say those three words you wanted me to say. Are you kidding? Blair. Hilarious. He says, not quite. Eight letters, three syllables, say them and I'm yours. She says, I'm already yours and you're ruining the mood with all this talk. I'm prepared to settle. He says, maybe I'm not. She says, Chuck Bass, I will never say those words to you. And he says, then you will never have me, Blair. Well, and he gets, like, up and leaves and it's like, what?
It is so funny that they have written these two 16-year-olds to speak like we are watching Game of Thrones.
Literally. Like, and you will never have me. As he gets on his horse and rides out of Blair's room. It's like, how'd you get the horse in here?
He's putting his chain mail back on.
Yeah, literally. He literally puts on his suit of armor. Oh my God. It's crazy. And that's where we end things. Blair sitting alone and dejected on her bed.
Man.
And we continue the saga of Chuck and Blair.
Crazy.
All right, that's the app. Do I have a synopsis for next week or do you?
Sure.
Okay, I will. Hold on. Okay. Gossip Girl season 2, episode 8. Oh, Oregon, little bad little Jay. Look at the screen cap. Yeah, blunt bang, smoky eye, bra. Oh, this is the Agnes episode. She's, I recognize that bra. Not in a weird way, freaks. Okay, here's a synopsis. It's called, by the way, Predapore Jay.
Perfect title. Rolls off the tongue.
Jenny befriends a young model, Agnes, who encourages Jenny to not only explore her wild side, but also confront her boss, Eleanor Waldorf, who's attempting to, quote, borrow Jenny's designs. Serena meets an artiste. Oh, I hate this guy. Aaron.
I don't remember.
Serena meets an artist. Aaron Rose is his name. All right. I hate him. I hate this. I hate the storyline. She's about to go full Vanessa on us. She meets an artist, Aaron Rose, and realizes they have an instant chemistry. Blair attempts to seduce Chuck, but it proves tougher than she ever imagined.
Oh, great.
That's going to be a painful watch. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, there you go. Hey, can you please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? I keep asking. I know it's at the end of the episode. You should still be here. Hey, class isn't over. don't pack up before the bell rings. You know what I mean? I hate it when I'm like, the bell's ringing in 30 seconds and I have a trek. Okay? Like, let me put a binder away.
He's like, come on.
Come on. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. We love you. Back for Summer Fridays this week.
Ideally,
we are back for Summer Fridays this week. Love Island is ending. And you guys, today, on the day you're listening to this, if it is Thursday, July 9th, Big Brother premieres. And no, I'm not in the house, but Angela is.
Thank God.
Party.
Thank God.
All right. Love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week.
It's fun.